All right, let's take a deep dive into ancient Babylon. We're cracking open a classic today, The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh, yeah, this one's packed with those parables, you know?
We'll love them.
Yeah, and we'll see if those ancient Babylonians had any wisdom that still works for building wealth today.
Well, I think when you look at this book and you see, you know, it's been around for so long and it's still so popular, you got to think there's got to be something to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about Klassen's approach. He uses stories, you know, little journeys into ancient life to make financial advice, I don't know, more relatable and just more fun, frankly.
Relatable, I think, is definitely the key word there.
Yeah.
And speaking of relatable, let's start with the legend himself, the OG, Arkad, the richest man in Babylon.
All right, let's hear it.
I mean, even the king sought out his advice.
Wow, that's impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk about influence.
Yeah, so what's interesting is that Arkad, he wasn't born into wealth or anything. He started as a humble scribe, you know, like a lot of folks in Babylon, but he had this burning desire to build wealth.
Yeah.
He didn't want to just, you know, watch other people enjoy the banquet of good things, as he put it.
Yeah.
And he had this really great quote about it, too.
What's the quote?
He said, "I decided to myself that I would claim my share of the good things of life, that I would not be one of those who stand afar off enviously watching others enjoy."
I mean, can you imagine? Like, they're just...
I can relate to that. I'm sure a lot of your listeners can, too. I mean, who hasn't felt that way at some point, wanting more out of life?
Sure, yeah. But so what set Arkad apart then? I mean, what did he do? Like, was it one big move or a bunch of, like, little calculated steps?
Well, that's the beauty of this story. He didn't strike it rich overnight.
Yeah.
He recognized that true wealth is built over time consistently, like a river constantly replenishing itself, you know? And so he came up with these principles, seven of them. He called them the seven cures for a lean purse. And they're all about creating that consistent flow of income.
All right, so let's break down these cures. Cure number one, start thy purse to fattening. Sounds pretty straightforward, right?
right to the point, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how many people miss this first step.
Okay.
You know, Arkad, he was adamant that you got to set aside at least 10% of your earnings before anything else.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, pay yourself first.
Pay yourself first.
Exactly.
So kind of like that first fruits idea, right? From ancient conjures, where you'd give like the best part of your harvest to the gods, kind of as a way to honor them.
It's a great analogy. It's like you're honoring yourself and your future by making that saving a priority.
Oh, okay.
And it's not just some ancient idea either. Mm-hmm. This is still like the foundation of good personal finance advice today.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. All right, so we stash away our savings. What's the next cure on our CODS list?
Cure number two is control thy expenditures.
Ooh.
Now, that might sound a bit, I don't know, like a buzzkill at first.
Yeah.
Right. The word budgeting doesn't exactly scream excitement.
No, it doesn't. It kind of conjures up like, you know, images of like, you know, just eating like lentils and rice every day.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
But it's not about deprivation.
Okay.
Think of it more like using one of those budgeting apps, you know?
Right.
They help us track our spending and be mindful of our choices.
Yeah.
Arkad was big on aligning your spending with what you value, not just mindlessly spending on whatever catches your eye.
So it's less about like, you know, denying yourself and more about like making conscious decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Not getting caught up in those impulse purchases or trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Right, or the Babylonian equivalent.
Yeah.
It's about understanding where your money's going and making sure it reflects what's important to you.
Yeah, makes sense.
So enjoy life, but within that 90% of your earnings.
Right.
That other 10%, that's the foundation we talked about.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, so that brings us to cure number three, and this is where things start to get interesting. Make thy gold multiply. So this is where investments come in, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
Arkad understood that you can't just sit on your savings. You got to put your money to work.
Okay.
And he illustrates this perfectly with the story of Agar, the shield maker.
Oh, right. Yeah, he gives him that loan to buy the bronze for his shields.
Yeah, but it wasn't just a one-time thing.
Okay.
Arkad, he saw potential in Agar and his work.
Okay.
So each time Agar paid back the loan, Arkad would lend the money again, plus the interest it earned.
So he's like reinvesting his earnings.
Yeah, exactly. And generating even more wealth.
It's kind of like an early version of compound interest, right?
It is.
Yeah, that idea of making your money work for you.
Yeah.
And then the money that it earns works for you.
That snowball effect. It's a powerful force in investing, even today.
Yeah. And it's amazing to think, I mean, we're talking about concepts that are like thousands of years old,
Right.
and they're still so relevant today.
These stories, they capture principles that that have stood the test of time.
Yeah. But even wise guys like Arcot, they weren't immune to making mistakes, were they?
Oh no, not at all. Remember the brickmaker?
Yeah, Asmor.
Yeah.
He got lured into that scheme to go to Phoenicia, right?
Yeah, and come back with rare jewels.
And he lost a year's worth of savings.
Yeah, and all he got were some worthless pieces of colored glass.
Right.
It's a classic case of chasing those quick riches, you know.
Right.
It underscores the need for due diligence,
Yeah.
diversification,
Right.
and most importantly, getting expert advice before making big investments.
So you're saying even the richest guy in Babylon got taken sometimes?
It happens to the best of us. It's a good reminder to be cautious and informed.
Yeah. So I guess that leads us to cure number four. Guard thy treasures from loss.
There you go. Protect what you've worked hard for.
All right, so we've got saving, budgeting, investing, and protecting our wealth. What are those last three cures all about?
Well, they kind of broaden the scope beyond just money.
Okay.
It's about our relationship with wealth and how it fits into our lives. So, cure number five, for example, it's make of thy dwelling a profitable investment.
Ah, so like owning a piece of Babylon,
Ah,
right? Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
Building stability, security.
Right. It's that foundation, that sense of being settled.
Think about it in modern terms. Owning
Yeah.
your home, it's often a solid investment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure.
Right. Provides shelter and hopefully goes up in value over time.
Right. Building equity.
Exactly.
Okay. Makes sense. And cure six and seven.
Well, number six is ensure a future income. It's about providing for yourself and your family. You know, if you can't work anymore,
Right.
kind of like insurance and retirement planning today.
Yeah. Okay.
And finally, cure number seven, increase thy ability to earn.
Ah, so this is about investing in yourself, right?
Exactly. Learning new skills, getting better at what you do.
To boost your earning power.
It's a holistic approach.
Yeah.
He saw the connection between our finances, our skills, our well-being.
I love that. So it's not just about hoarding gold, it's about growing as a person.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so those are the seven cures for a lean purse.
Pretty powerful stuff, even thousands of years later.
Yeah, but there's more, right? I mean, you mentioned something about five laws of gold.
Ah, yes. These are the core of Arcot's philosophy.
Okay.
He considered them so valuable, he inscribed them on a clay tablet for his son, Nomaser.
A clay tablet.
Yeah, can you
A more
imagine?
valuable than
He
gold.
valued those principles that much.
Wow.
Yeah, and in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to unlock those five laws of gold.
Sounds like we've got our work cut out for us.
We do. Get ready for some more timeless wisdom.
All right, listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our Babylonian adventure.
Ready to dive into the five laws of gold.
Yeah, I'm really curious about these laws. I mean, we left off with Arcot valuing these inscribed clay tablets even more than a sack of gold.
It's pretty remarkable,
It
right?
is. So what makes them so special? I mean, how are they different from those seven cures we talked about earlier?
Well, think of it this way. The seven cures, those are like the practical steps, the building blocks to
Right.
creating wealth.
Okay, so like the bricks and mortar of our financial foundation.
The five laws, though, those are more like the blueprint
Oh.
guiding the whole process.
Ah, okay, so they're like the overarching principles that
Right, the
they
mindset,
got.
the philosophy behind lasting wealth.
So it's more than just like the actions you take. It's about how you think about wealth.
Exactly.
I like it. Okay, so let's unlock this blueprint then, starting with law number one.
All right, law number one states, gold cometh gladly and increasing quantity to any man who will put by not less than one tenth of his earnings.
Okay, so this sounds familiar. It's like that first cure again, right? Start thy purse to fattening, pay yourself first.
It is, but it goes a bit deeper.
Oh, okay.
It's not just about the action of saving, it's about the attitude behind it.
Okay.
This idea that wealth or gold, it's attracted to those who value it, who make it a priority.
Interesting. So it's almost like you're inviting wealth into your life.
Yeah, creating a mindset of abundance.
Yeah, I mean, this almost sounds like that manifesting thing, right?
Right, that's a modern term.
Yeah.
But this first law, it suggests that you know, maybe the Babylonians were onto something all those centuries ago.
Yeah, I like it. Okay, so what about law number two?
Law number two, it says, gold laboreth diligently and contentedly for the wise owner who finds for it profitable employment, multiplying even as the flocks of the field.
Okay, so this is about investing, right? Making that gold multiply.
Yeah, but it's more than just, you know, sticking your money in any old investment.
Yeah.
It's about being proactive. Finding the right opportunities, making your money work for you.
So it's like our wealth is not just sitting there. It's actively working.
Exactly. It's got a job to do.
Okay.
And that job is to grow and multiply.
I like that visual. All right. So law number three, what's that one all about?
All right. Law number three states, gold clingeth to the protection of the cautious owner who invests it under the advice of men wise in its handling.
Oh, okay. So this sounds like, you know, maybe a little nod to Arcad's own experience, right? With the brickmaker, Asmore.
It is.
The importance of seeking expert advice.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Right. Especially when it comes to something as important as our finances.
And, you know, it also emphasizes the need to be cautious.
Right.
To do our research, to not put all our eggs in one basket.
Yeah, that diversification thing.
Right.
Okay, so it's like a balancing act then between, like, you know, being open to opportunities.
Right.
But also, like, protecting what you have.
Exactly. Find that sweet spot.
All right. Law number four, then. Let's hear it.
Law number four states, gold slippeth away from the man who invests it in businesses or purposes with which he is not familiar or which are not approved by those skilled in its keep.
Okay, so this one's all about staying within our circle of competence, right?
Yeah, not getting caught up in things we don't understand.
Right.
Do your due diligence.
Yeah, yeah. Don't just jump into something because, you know, everyone else is doing it or it sounds exciting.
Right, exactly. It's easy to get caught up in the hype.
Yeah, that FOMO.
Right, that's a good way to put it.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah, but this law is a good reminder to take a step back
right.
and make sure we're making informed decisions.
All right, I'm ready for the final law. What wisdom does law number five impart?
Okay, law number five, it states, gold flees the man who would force it to impossible earnings or who followeth the alluring advice of tricksters and schemers or who trusts it to his own inexperience and romantic desires in investment.
Wow, that's quite a mouthful.
It is.
But it sounds like it's like the culmination of all the other laws,
yeah.
right?
It is, yeah.
It's like a final warning against like greed,
right.
recklessness,
yeah.
naivete.
It's all about patience, discipline,
yeah. right.
long-term thinking.
Okay, so it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Building wealth takes time.
Yeah. I mean, these five laws of gold, they really do paint a pretty comprehensive picture, don't they?
They do. They're like a roadmap to financial success.
Yeah. And it's not just about the principles themselves. It's about how they're presented.
Right. Klassen does a great job of weaving these principles into stories.
Yeah. And one story that I found particularly interesting was the one about Sharanada, the merchant prince, and his grandson, Hayden Gulla.
Ah, yes. The successful merchant who was once a slave.
Right. And the grandson who, you know, kind of took his wealth for granted.
It's a powerful contrast.
It is. It makes you think about, like, you know, our perceptions of work and wealth.
And how those perceptions can be shaped by our experiences.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready to dive into their story and see what lessons we can glean.
Let's do it. Let's explore the transformative power of work.
Welcome back for the final leg of our trip back to ancient Babylon.
We've unearthed some real gems, haven't we?
Yeah, those seven cures, the five laws of gold.
Timeless advice, really.
And those stories. I keep thinking about Sharanada, the merchant prince, and his grandson.
Ah, yes. Hayden Gulla, a tale of two perspectives, really.
It is. You've got Sharanada, this guy who rose from slavery to build a successful business.
Yeah. Embodied those Babylonian principles, you know, hard work, resilience.
And then his grandson, Hayden Gulla, well, he's born with a silver spoon, right?
They seem to have lost sight of the value of hard work.
Yeah, saw it as beneath him, almost.
It's a struggle, even today, losing that connection to where wealth comes from.
Taking it for granted, yeah.
Thinking it's just luck or inheritance.
Right, right. But Sharanada's story, he kind of flips that idea on its head.
It does. Shows how powerful work can be, even when you start with nothing.
Yeah, it's not just about the money. It's about building something.
Character, skills, purpose.
Yeah. It's about taking control of your life.
The book talks about how Sharanada, even as a slave, he noticed his fellow slaves struggling to get food after working on those city walls.
Right. Long days.
Yeah. And he saw an opportunity.
So he starts a business, right? Selling food.
Exactly. Entrepreneurial spirit.
Recognizing a need. Providing a solution.
That's a key ingredient in building wealth, isn't it?
Definitely. I mean, Sharanada didn't let his circumstances define him.
No, he used what he had, his resourcefulness.
And saved. little by little, until he could buy his freedom.
Powerful example, you know?
It is. It reminds me of something Arcad said about opportunity. It's a haughty goddess.
Who wastes no time with those who are unprepared.
Right, so it's not just about being lucky.
It's about being ready for those lucky breaks when they come.
And that's where building a solid financial foundation comes in.
Absolutely.
It gives you that security, that stability.
With those impenetrable walls of Babylon.
Yeah, keeping those financial invaders at bay. All right, so we've got those Babylonian principles.
Saving, budgeting, investing, protecting.
We've got Sharonada's example of hard work and seizing opportunities.
And then there's, well, luck.
Yeah, the wild card.
Some folks seem to have it in spades. Others, well, not so much.
Makes you wonder, right? But the Babylonians, they had a different take on luck.
They did. They believed in making your own luck.
Oh, interesting. How so?
Remember Arcad's words, opportunity doesn't wait for the unprepared.
Right, right. So it's not just about being in the right place at the right time.
It's about being ready.
Yeah. Having the knowledge, the skill.
And the resources.
So you could jump on those chances.
Luck might play a role, but it's not the whole story.
It's about putting yourself in a position to be lucky.
Exactly. And that takes effort, preparation.
All right. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Babylonian wisdom, let's recap, shall we?
Sure. Let's do it.
Those seven cures. They're our foundation.
Start thy purse to fattening. Control thy expenditures. Make thy gold multiply.
Guard thy treasures from loss.
Make of thy dwelling a profitable investment. Ensure a future income. Increase thy ability to earn.
Seek wisdom from those who possess it.
And build a strong financial foundation.
And remember, listeners, luck favors the prepared.
Thanks for joining us on this journey.
May your purses be full and your financial foundations strong.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning.
And keep diving deep.